Hello everyone, welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today on September 9th of 2021, I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we are here to talk about the anime we've been watching, much of which is on Toonami, because that's the podcast, but then we started watching other anime, so we're doing that also. Alright, so as usual, though, we start out with the Toonami stuff, so we'll jump right in to it, unless you have any snappy opening stuff, because I know I don't.
Nope.
Okay. So, here we are beginning once more with Fena Pirate Princess. I realize that I've been mispronouncing it prior to this. I've always saying Fena. It's actually Fena, because that's how they say it on the show.
Yeah, I was going to point that out, but I decided not to.
Anyway, so they're going to try to... Actually, I can't remember exactly why they're going to this place, but they're going there. They go through a bunch of maze stuff, and they're able to get through it because Fena... I don't know, something. It's kind of... I mean, I don't think we're supposed to know yet, but she... has some ability that lets him go through it. So they end up finding this place where they've got where they find this clue, and it's some numbers, and they're like, oh, I think these are latitude and longitude. Then Fena just wanders off, and somehow no one notices, and she gets captured by the bad guys who make the good guys give the information, and then the bad guys are like, well, see you later, and just leave, and then just, use explosives to seal the good guys in and take Fena with them. And that's basically the episode.
Yep. And, I didn't understand this whole thing where it was like, they were first like, oh, we need Fena here because she has some sort of magical power that allows them to her to figure out the best way to go. But then whenever they do come to a fork in the road and she says, okay, we're going this way, they all look to each other like, what's she, you know, like, they're looking at each other like, huh? Like, you know, like, she doesn't know what she's doing. And it's like they completely contradicted themselves. And not even after a long time either. That was like within a couple minutes of them saying it. So that made no sense at all. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode. Though I don't understand how or why Fena decided to go get herself kidnapped. But, I mean, she just wanders away from everyone else. No one even knows. No one figures it out until she's captured. Like, you think if she's got these special powers that allow her to do these weird things, that you'd have someone would have their eye on her. And but then again, why was she off wondering anyway? Why did she just decide, okay, I've had enough of this, I'm just gonna go off exploring myself? Like, mm-hmm. That didn't make much sense. So this whole thing, although I liked the episode, there were a lot of plot holes I can punch in it.
Yeah, the biggest one is where she just wanders off, and I can think, okay, she's in a trance because of, I don't know, because of quantum, but she, but no one notices it. She just walks off, and no one notices. That was what was so weird to me. Other than that, it was okay. I do see that at least, like, the villains are sticking around, because these are the ones we've seen before. I was like wondering if we were just going to get a bunch of different, you know, villains, but it seems like they do have a kind of villain group that will be sticking around. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we've got My Hero Academia episode 106. So, let's see. So, we're because what's his name? I don't know. The I'd say Todoroki's brother, but isn't but Todoroki is both of their last names. what was Todoroki like? The guy with the, I can't even remember his first name. I just always call him Todoroki.
You could just call him Todoroki Jr.
But isn't the but isn't his brother, that is the one who's not an important character, isn't his brother older? I'm just going to call him Todoroki's brother. I don't care if it means that I'm saying he's his own brother. So Todoroki's brother is still upset with their father because Todoroki's other brother died at some point in the past for reasons that haven't been fully explained and stuff. And it seems like things won't necessarily I don't know where I was going with that. However, one of the best ways to solve these sorts of interpersonal problems occurs. A bad guy just shows up and kidnaps him.
Now that brings the family together.
Well, not perfectly. His Todoroki's brother, okay, Natsu, that's his name. Natsu, got it. I was looking up. Although, I kind of just like calling him Todoroki's brother. Anyway, so Endeavor goes after him, but ultimately it's the main characters, Bakugo, Deku, and Todoroki, who ends up managing to save him and stuff. And then they're all like, yeah, we managed to get to beat Endeavor to something, because Endeavor earlier said, oh, well, your goal should be to beat me in speed at something. So they do that. And Natsu says, well, you know, I still don't like you, but I guess I maybe don't like you a little less. And yeah, that's basically the episode. We had family drama interrupted by a random kidnapping.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I don't necessarily, I'm trying to think of what to even say about this episode that I haven't said yet, but it just kind of was there.
Yeah, this episode wasn't exactly that memorable. Although I could say that about a lot of My Hero Academia episodes. I guess this whole plot is in order to try to do something with Endeavor, I guess. And they want to do something with his character. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the important one. And, I mean, I guess it is giving us more information about Todoroki's family situation and stuff, but I don't know. It just felt so convenient that, oh, this happens and this manages. The guy just shows, a crazy guy shows up and does stuff that manages to reasonably wrap up all the plot points that were going on in this arc. We got a little more resolution to Todoroki's family thing, and we had the main characters managed to beat Endeavor and meet his challenge. So we got that. And it just felt kind of like, wow, the bad guy decides to attack and it conveniently wraps up all these plot points for this arc. How nice. All right. Then we'll move on to Food Wars episode 64.
Okay, so this time Yuma Kuga is now getting into the battle, and it basically his.
You know his name isn't actually. I'm sorry to interrupt. I can't tell. Are you making a joke, or did you think his name was Yuma Kuga?
I know what I'm talking about.
Okay, just making sure. I'm sorry. Keep going.
So basically, Yuma Kuga goes ahead and he makes a great diss, and everyone loves it. And then the guy on the other side makes one, and they absolutely love that one too. What a surprise! Yeah, you know, I wish there was one episode where they just ate it, and they were just like, "This is disgusting." Like, just one time for me, please, just once. I mean, I'm so sick of them acting like every diss is the best thing ever. That's the problem with it. Whenever you do it too many times, all of a sudden now it's like, oh, that was supposed to happen. So there's no surprise. Oh, yeah, they lost all their clothes yet again. So basically, he loses, and it's all tied up, and now it's time to go back to rest for a while. And then Erina says a couple of things, which she says some things that really have, like, no value to them. But for some reason, they act like whatever she said was like the most inspiring thing ever. And so, yeah, you got that. And I don't know. For me, I did not like the episode. And my patience is running thin with this. So I think it's reached that point where it's got to do something else, or else I'm just going to get sick of it. Like, you know, I'm trying to think of another. There was another show we were watching. Probably that was Yasuhime, where every week it was like the same old thing. They go for a bounty of something, and then they beat it, and then they wouldn't get the bounty, and then rinse, wash, repeat. And that's how I'm starting to feel about this. So,
yeah, it has been years since I read this arc in the manga. So it's very much a blur, and I never reread it. So, from what I remember, this part is kind of boring, but it does improve. The season does improve as it goes on. I just can't remember at what point that happens, but I know it at least. I remember it ends decently, at least.
Yeah.
So at some point, the season does improve. I just don't know if it's the final episode, midway through, next episode, or what. But yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you were able to explain all that, because I'll be honest, I don't think I remember a single thing from this episode. I remember that Kuga was there, and that was basically it.
His new name is Yuma Kuga.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt your joke like that. I just wanted to check. Anyway. Oh, actually, speaking of which, I recently did finally get back to watching to finishing the season 2 of World Trigger. It's an improvement over the first season, I think. Like, the animation is definitely better. Although it's only 12 episodes, so, or was it 10? It was short.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So yeah, this was a kind of dull episode. Oh wait, I actually did make one note on this episode now that I see. It's where let's see. Even though we keep making the joke about how it's actually about how the person whose specialty the challenge is usually loses, I was noticing that Meat said, like, you don't want to get the other person's specialty. I mean, there are exceptions. The person won their specialty last time, but for the most part, it seems the opposite.
Also, did you notice that one character started using, like, honorifics of Japanese names, and it felt so out of place? Or was that in, wait, maybe that was in Kaguya-sama. I forget. I remember one thing from this week where the person started using all these honorifics saying, calling people, yeah, it was Food Wars, because they were calling people cats and stuff, and you know, and it was just like, well, that's kind of weird, because they never use the honorifics otherwise, so, you know.
I don't remember that, but then again, that's something that I usually often don't notice, and also I couldn't remember the episode much anyway. We just got disconnected, it looked like. Let me see if I can reconnect this. Okay, we had some technical problems there, but we're back. Unfortunately, I also can't remember what we were actually talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can just move on to Black Clover.
Okay. Yeah, I think we were basically done with Food Wars anyway. So we got Black Clover episode 164. So Yami and the other Black Bulls that are at their headquarters are still fighting up against that Dante guy, who apparently is, this was a surprise to me. Shonen Jump manga have those periodic popularity polls for the characters. In the most recent one, he took third place. No, he didn't take third place. That was a different character. He got, I can't remember, but he placed highly. I'll double check what that was, but in the meantime, so they're fighting up against him. And then we cut to other characters fighting a bunch of unimportant villains that they all beat.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, we switch back to Loro Pechka and Noelle, who are like, yeah, we've beaten all these unimportant villains. But then an actually important villain shows up to attack them.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode, it's kind of like a sandwich where the bread is a good part and the middle stuff isn't so good. Like the beginning and the end were decent, but the rest with just, hey, we're fighting a bunch of villains that don't really matter. Okay. So yeah. Did you have anything you wanted to say, or?
No, not on Black Clover, not really.
Okay. So Dante, the guy they were fighting at the start, he apparently, in the most recent popularity poll, the results have not technically officially come out yet, but, you know, people have, like, early pictures of the magazine, and it got fourth place, apparently. In case you're wondering, Noelle actually won. She's the most popular character right now.
Hmm.
So that was interesting to see. Third place is a character you haven't even met yet.
Hmm.
So that's the update on the Black Clover popularity character stuff. And other than that, like, we had some interesting stuff at the start, at the end, and most of the episode was just meh.
When are they going to put out a Shangri-La popularity poll?
I don't know. I don't even know if this is something that other manga magazines do. I know Weekly Shonen Jump does it periodically for their series, or at least their more popular ones. So, you know, Black Clover, One Piece, all like the big ones get them every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so that is our Toonami stuff. So, I guess we can move into the other stuff. Baka and Test episode 21.
Oh, boy. Baka and Test and Kaguya-sama were, both of them, were unrecognizable this week. Like, there was literally nothing about them that felt like the actual show. So this case, we have the case of Minami coming over from Germany and going to the new school where she has an extreme German accent. And and basically, instead of being a humor thing, it's more of a, like, sad story, a sob story for her, because she's having such a hard time getting used to this new place. And I kept expecting something really funny to happen. There were a couple of jokes, but honestly, this did not feel like a normal episode. But I do have to say, I kind of liked it anyway. I like that they gave more time to Minami's character, because she's probably my favorite one. And I just don't know where her German accent went after this. Like, I wonder when they cast Leah Clark, who voices her, when they cast her as the character, did they tell her, okay, 30 episodes from now, you're going to have to talk in a German accent. So we're only going to cast you as Minami if you know how to do a German accent. And I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. But
well, yeah, this was a very different kind of episode, but honestly, for the most part, I really liked it. Even if there were some things that annoyed me. For example, a big part of this is that Yoshi's trying to speak because he's an idiot. He gets German mixed up with French and is trying to speak to her in French. And which is funny. The problem is, how does she not recognize French? I mean, obviously France being next to Germany doesn't mean you'll know the language particularly well, but I would think you would at least be able to see, oh wait, this is not Japanese. He is making sounds that do not happen in Japanese. Unless maybe we were supposed to assume that he was trying to speak French, but was doing it in a Japanese way. But even then, that just felt a little weird. To me, that she didn't figure that out. But yeah, that was kind of nice. At least I kind of see a little more of why she has a thing for him after this episode, because she actually got impressed. Oh, he actually tried to learn how to say, would you be my friend in a language, even though it was the wrong one. Yeah, that was good. My question is, how did she get rid of that accent? Because it's kind of, it's noticeable because, okay, so it is possible to get rid of an accent. It's like, have you ever seen the TV show House, the one that starred Hugh Laurie?
I never saw the show, but I knew all the jokes from it.
Okay. Well, so if you watch that show, like, he sounds completely American. if you listen to what the actor sounds like normally, he's got a really noticeable English accent. He disguises it like he astoundingly well on the show. Like apparently the when he auditioned for it, the producers didn't know who he was and they thought he was just some American guy because he did it so well. So it's possible to get rid of one, but it just takes a lot of work. So, or maybe because she was younger, it was easier. I don't know. The bigger question I have, the more reasonable one, is, okay, so she's struggling to understand things because it's another language, presumably one she's at least studied a bit, but, you know, she doesn't know it yet. And I can buy the fact, okay, by the start of the show, 1 year later, she's fluent in Japanese. That's fine. It's total immersion. That's like one of the fastest ways to gain fluency. But it's not like she's just like, she's like completely fluent. There's like not a single time I remember her ever having any problems with anything in Japanese prior to this. Like never any point of like, you know, being confused by some esoteric phrase or something. So it seemed, maybe I'm overanalyzing it and being nitpicky, but it seemed a little weird that they make a point of this and then in every single other episode this plot point might as well not exist.
Yeah, it's a retcon. Totally a retcon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like I said, I can completely buy within 1 year if you're living in a foreign country, especially if you studied it at least a bit beforehand, you can speak it fine, but not to like the point where you understand literally every, like you could understand like 99.9% of everything, but you'd still come across some phrases where you'd need it to be explained to you and stuff. I would think. So yeah, that doesn't quite fit with the show, but whatever. Those are more nitpicks. On the whole, even though it did feel different, I mean, I really actually kind of liked the episode. At least it wasn't, what they did in the last three episodes, which was repeat the same episode three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, really liked the episode. That was not so much the case for Kaguya-sama episode 23, where we get, oh boy. So we find out some of Ishigami's backstory, and to try to get through it quickly, so there's this girl he was kind of friends with, and he found out that her boyfriend was cheating on her, so he got angry, but anyway, and he was like, I'll tell her, and then the boyfriend's all like, aha, well, I have, and he shows him a picture which we don't see, but it's heavily implied to be some kind, that he has some sort of, like, pornographic picture of her somehow, and will like blackmail him with it. So he gets angry and beats him up, but then gets suspended from school and refuses to apologize, but he doesn't get to go back, but apparently does at the end of the year get to go continuing to the high school stuff. And a lot of him is him feeling really sad about the whole thing, especially because that girl who's still angry at him because he never explained the situation to her, shows up at the festival thing to tell him off. Anyway, but then we get the big nice thing where he's like, oh, I don't have to be stuck in the past, and kind of tells her off. And I'm thinking, like, you are the one who has decided not to tell her the reason you did all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to play it all triumphantly that you tell her off when you never explained why you beat up her boyfriend, which caused him to break up with her.
Yeah.
I'll be fair and say it is a bit much to years later decide to show up to the thing to kind of scream at him about it, but it's framed so weirdly.
Oh, when I was watching it, I was very confused. I was like, why is he telling her off? I thought she was the person he really liked. I did not understand it at all.
Yeah, anyway, but he ultimately gets over the whole thing. We do find out that Shirogane, apparently, he showed up in the flack story because he figured out all this stuff out and basically told Ishigami, oh, well, we managed to do stuff so you could get back to the school or whatever. And so then everything is all great, and he's more happy and accepted, and everything's good. Mm-hmm. And the bad boyfriend guy apparently was actually so freaked out by Ishigami's refusal to apologize that he left or something, or transferred or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was the episode.
Yeah, I did not like it, and I wasn't sure what show I was watching. that's never a good sign. And, Kaguya is supposed to be funny, whenever it does stuff like this, it, doesn't succeed very well. So, no, I did not like this episode.
Yeah, I remember when, because I was so interested in the show, I kind of went through it faster, you know, and I mentioned, oh, and I try, because I've been trying to improve my Spanish, I watch it with Spanish subtitles and such, which made this episode a lot even worse, because I had to go through it slowly, because I had to keep, you know, pausing it to look at the words so I could parse what was being said and look stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. So this episode was actually a little of a relief, because I just could go through it without that. But yeah, it was not very good. It's weird, because I remember I was like thinking, oh, Kaguya, this show's great. This is, oh man, this has a super high chance of, at my end of year list, getting number one. Then this episode made me think, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just had two notes to make. One thing I actually kind of liked about the episode was how it kept showing all those people, and you didn't see their eyes. They just had this sort of blurred face thing. And then at the end, when Ishigami kind of more accepts everything, you do see their full faces. And I was like, okay, that's a kind of nice, like, art move. One other thing was, apparently I saw this because after looking at this episode, I wanted to see what did people say about this, you know, when it aired. And a lot of other people said, ugh, this was kind of an overly serious episode. But one part is, do you remember at the end where, because it mentioned that Ogino, that was the name of like the bad, like the boyfriend guy who transferred or whatever, and like, I asks Kaguya, like, oh, did you have something to do with that? And Kaguya says, I would never do something so cruel. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently in the manga, she goes on to give an extra sentence when she says, but I know people who are so cruel, so I just told them. And I was like, oh, that guy, leaving that actually, it was kind of weird to cut that out. I feel like, and leave it more pointless, weirdly ambiguous. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this was honestly probably the weakest episode of the series, I think.
Yeah, no complaints there.
So, all right. So from that, we'll move on to Fate Zero, Episode 3. So in our previous episode, I think the church guy sent his sort of servant guy to a place who then got basically killed right away. So he's knocked out, but he's like, it was all according to Keikaku. I will, now I've got all these other assassin guys who will interfere with it somehow, or I don't know. Maybe it'll make a little more sense later. Okay, we don't know. I'm double checking a synopsis. Now I get it. It's his servant guy wasn't just one, it was like multiple guys. So he actually does still technically, he has it. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get over to the... Okay, I'm going to be saying... so, like, the school kid guy talks to Ryder. That's his name. The guy who's, like, the semi-reincarnation of, I think, Alexander the Great. We find out that apparently Bill Clinton is president in this anime. I guess that sets the time period.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we get that. The other main thing is we also spend a bunch of time with Saber, which I guess makes sense because I think she's the most popular character.
Yeah.
She's the one. She's the most recognizable one, anyway. And they end up, and she ends up going up against a duel against another one of the guys, and that's our episode.
Yep. My problem is that I'm a little too confused about everything right now, and yeah, it's just very confusing, and I don't know if this wasn't a series that I had suggested, I might lean toward dropping it, but I know that Fate Stay Night is supposed to be really good, so I'm holding out hope for that.
Well, this is a prequel. If you really want, we could like go into Unlimited Blade Works or something. That was the original suggestion you had. Although I do remember some people saying that this show does have a bit of a slow start, so we might want to give it at least a few more episodes first.
Yeah.
It did seem like things might be, you know, moving a bit faster based on this ending with them about to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, We've got that. So yeah, it was okay. I do hope things move a little more because it does. I mean, I guess this, to be fair, this is like what, a 24 episode series. So obviously we can't jump into everything right away. But it still feels, so, even by that standard, it's kind of preliminary. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, we also get a little bit of world building. We find out that conveniently all of the, what are they even called? I've been calling them servants, but, is there like another term for them?
I think you're right.
Okay. So we've got how they like know all about modern technology and stuff, which is again, kind of convenient, but they do specify that.
Mm-hmm.
They just automatically know it. So yeah. So that was our shows. So I guess we can move on to our top three stuff. It's actually a little harder this week because looking at it, there wasn't that much that really stood out that much for me. I think I will put in here, I'll put in, let me just double check to make sure I'm not forgetting anything here. Okay, so I'll put in Fate Zero in third place, I'll put Fena in second place, and I'll put Baka and Test in first place.
Well, that's funny because that was exactly what I was about to say. So, you killed two birds with one stone there. I did enjoy Buck and Test. I wish it had been a little more on the romantic side so we could see why Minami has such a giant crush on a guy who's a pervert and a moron. But yeah, Baka and Tess was best this week.
Yeah, actually, I am curious about whether we'll get more of this backstory in the next episode or whether we'll just go back to the regular stuff. I guess we'll find out. But yeah, is this the first time I haven't put Kaguya in my top three?
Probably.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all that stuff. I did actually have something to mention though. So I actually basically, because I know season two is coming soon and it'll presumably be on Toonami at some point, and I wanted to catch up so I'd understand what was happening, unlike when we watched the last few episodes, kind of. I did watch most of season one of Demon Slayer now. Mm-hmm. Again, Spanish. I'm watching him with Spanish subtitles. I'm trying to like do one episode of something each day to try to do it, because I'm trying to really get serious at getting my language good. Anyway, do you want me to talk a little about it, or?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. So I haven't seen the full first season. So we started watching, you know, just because that was the time when we decided, let's watch everything on Toonami for a few weeks. Why not? I watched up until that point. So now I have a little more context for the stuff that happened. So the show is decent. I don't think it's great. Honestly, what I'm confused about is why the series is so insanely popular. Because I understand. See, here's the thing. I understand why it's popular. It's a competently made shonen battle series. You put those phrases together and you get a successful series. I don't understand why this created the highest grossing film of all time in Japan. Well, how this was the thing that knocked One Piece off its number one manga selling for like 10 years streak. And in last year, like outsold One Piece, which again, I'd like to stress has been like number one for so long, like by a factor of 10. Uh-huh. I don't understand how it's that popular.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's that popular either. But then again, I don't understand why people think it's good either. So
I think some parts of it are decent. It does have kind of a different feel to your regular shonen series. I've heard that the author's a woman. I'm not sure about that, because I saw some people say that and I was like, okay, so that's the case. But then I looked recently and it said their gender is unknown. So, you know, they might be, they might not be, but it kind of has a little, it's almost in some ways feels kind of like a shonen battle series, but done in a shoujo style is what I kind of saw, what I've seen some people describe it as. And maybe that's the thing that sets it apart, but I don't know. But as to the show itself, like I said, I don't understand how it's this popular. I do understand why it's popular, because you know the animation is good. That's the thing everyone said. Everyone says, "Oh yeah, this show has good, really good animation." The battles are okay. The characters are kind of likable, although I know some people absolutely hate Zenitsu. I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the character who, you know, kind of complains about everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a decent show. It's not amazing, to me, but you know, I didn't think my time was wasted in watching it. One comment I wanted to really make was though, we didn't see this in the episodes we watched. I don't know, between the like, we saw the first three episodes and the last three episodes or so together. Did you see any of the stuff in between those?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So you know how we made jokes, all that stuff about how on Bleach, you know, there would be like some character, usually a villain, who would die, and then we'd suddenly get slammed with this big flashback from them that's supposed to give them a bunch of character depth, but it just feels pointless because, you know, they just died.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh boy, does Demon Slayer like doing that.
Uh-huh.
They're, like, literally, there were two episodes, and then, like, almost half of each of them was devoted to flashbacks about the villains who had just died.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, it really does hammers that home, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it probably makes them all out to be not that bad, right?
Yeah, well, all, like, the demons are, like, stated, they were basically humans, except the big bad guy, like, has the power to turn people into demons, so he turned a bunch of, so, like, all of them were, like, regular humans who got turned by him, and, you know, we get all, like, these, you know, sad backstories about them, like, one of the guys was, oh, I wanted to be a writer, but no one liked anything I wrote, and like, I was like had a sickly body and then I became a demon and my parents, didn't like me because I was killing people. And it's, I don't know. It just, there's too much of it. That's the biggest takeaway. They really lean on that in Demon Slayer. but yeah, so, I think I probably would have liked the episodes we did see together a bit more if I had more, had the context for it. But on the whole, it's okay. It's not like it's not great in my opinion, but you know, it's decent. If it comes back, I'll probably watch it. But yeah, that's that's my main thoughts on Demon Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was my spiel. You have anything to add?
Not this week.
Okay. So, yeah, when is Demon Slayer Season 2 coming out anyway? I wonder if, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know how much you, need to how important that is. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know if it's announcing. It's it's sometime this year, but I'm not sure if I'm not sure if we know the exact time. Anyway, so that's that. Yeah, since I've got nothing else to say, I'll just say that you can normally find our episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com, and then we'll see you next week.
Bye.